Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello, everyone. This is Blog Talk Radio. I'm really excited to have as my guest today, author, professional certified coach, corporate trainer, and public speaker extraordinaire, Susan Gonzalez. I'm your host, Jan Jaffe. Welcome to Your Best Life. Susan Gonzalez is considered the go-to coach. She helps highly successful people actively create their own destinies and make their mark in life. She brings a lightning bolt of energy and motivation to her clients, helping them get out of their own way so that they can tap into their unlimited power and talent. Susan knows what it takes. She, too, went from settling to living her dream life on her own terms. She is the author of Make It Your Mark, a professional coach, corporate trainer, and, as I said, speaker extraordinaire. I'm so excited to have Susan Gonzalez as my guest on today's show. Welcome, Susan.
Oh, thank you, Jan. What a lovely introduction. I sound so great when you do it.
The number here is 646-716-9397. We welcome your calls, questions, comments, and contribution to the discussion. We love your participation. The number again is 646-716-9397. Some of our listeners may or may not be aware that you're a member of my amazing panel for Think Tank, a show aired monthly on the fourth Wednesday of every month where we examine in depth different topics. Today, we're doing something entirely different. Since this is Your Best Life, you're the topic. So, Susan, I'd love if you would share with our audience a little about what brought you into coaching in the first place.
Oh, it's such a fun journey I went on. I kind of fell into coaching through my profession and saw the powerful way it changed communication. It actually changed how people showed up, and I thought, wow, that's for me. I had such a pull towards it. And I've been so fortunate, Jan, because I got to work with some great people, and I instantly met the people at IPEC Coaching, Bruce Schneider and Luke Iorio and Evie DiPiazza, and the rest was history because we created programs together at the organization I worked for, and I just took it on. I love what I learned. People tell me that I was at peace. I seemed like I was at peace in my interactions. And it's just so much of what I learned about myself from coaching, great communication techniques that you get from it. And it's so easy to do. I wish I had known about it like 25 years ago. It would have been awesome.
So you said you just kind of fell into coaching. So what I'm wondering is, what did you do before that you managed to just fall into coaching? Because that's just such a wonderful thing. There's usually something that leads up to it. So I'm curious to know what created that precipitous fall, shall we say.
I am one of those kind of people that I love to learn. So I'm always open to what's going on around me and trying to improve. And I love observing people and watching them and taking the things that I like. When someone does something, I'm like, oh, I like that style. I'm going to, try to incorporate some of that into my style. And I knew about coaching from corporate world a little bit, but I didn't know exactly what it was. So I just knew there was this thing called coaching and it was having a big impact. I actually ran a division for educational leadership at the service center in San Antonio, and we trained people to be principals and assistant principals and superintendents, but a lot more than that. So all capacities of leadership development that you can imagine. So communication would be one of the prime topics, because in any kind of public figure industry or anything you're in, communication can make or break you. And I was intrigued by it, and that's how I actually heard about it. But how I fell into it was, people tend to come to me and say, oh, we just found this really great thing. Would you like to be a part of it? And I consider myself so fortunate to be invited, because that's how I fell into coaching. Someone invited me in. They were going to be doing a training. They thought I'd be great for it. And, of course, I said, oh, yeah, I want to know what this is. Communication, I'm in. And that's how I sort of just fell into it. I was invited in.
How wonderful, and what a great invitation. So I have to tell you that I absolutely loved your book. The content is brilliant, and it's a great DIY and a do-it-yourself transformative tool for anyone, anyone who wants to figure out how to make changes in their own life. The book even goes so far as to help people figure out that huge what is my purpose and how do I become fulfilled question. And it does so in a very, very practical manner with steps and tools. So I'm curious to know, what moved you in the first place to write this book?
It had been on my mind for quite some time. And I would see this in my own life, you know, trying to figure out, what's my big purpose in life? What do I want to do? What's the contribution I want to make to the world? And I always had this feeling, I'm supposed to do something great, but I just didn't know what it was going to be. I thought, I know I'm supposed to do something great, and I've done some great things, but I always felt like, but I'm not done yet. I know there's more. And then when I work with young people, especially young people who are aspiring to be leaders and they're in the leadership training, I would see this over and over and over. And they would come to me and they'd say, you know, you're so confident. How do you know who you are? I'm so scared of this. I have these things. And I thought, all those are normal. But the key to me is, who do you want to be? I thought maybe that's where it comes from, is that opportunity and that question. You can be anything you want to be. You can be anyone you want to be, but who do you want to be? And if once you figure that out, what kind of person do you want to be? That helps you decide, and here's how I want to show up so I can align my actions. So what prompted me to write it finally is, I thought, I'm getting up there in age, and I've had this idea to write this book for years and years. It is a little time I walked my talk. And so I just jumped in and thought, I'm doing it. I've wanted to. I think the message is strong, and it reinforced it for me, and I thought, this is something I want to share with the world.
Oh, wow. Well, you certainly did. And, you know, the two things that you mentioned, you know, you said the key is, who do you want to be, and then how do you want to show up? And those are two, as you say, two very key questions. And the first one, of course, who do you want to be? And that's not an easy question to answer. And you go through in your book the steps, the practical steps to figure that out. You have questions. You have ways of looking at yourself. You break it down into practical, almost like, what is that? It's almost like, I hate to say this, life purpose for dummies, but in a sense, it's not that your readers are not dummies, but I mean, it is very practical, and yet at the same time, it is such a wonderful read. And then you also go into, and so, okay, so now you've chosen that base. I'm not using your words at all, but when you finally figured this out, who do I want to be? Then how do I want to show up? How do I do that? What does all that mean? And you go into it, and it's not a 1,000-page book that you go through and you say, yeah, you know, I can't finish this, or it's enough already. Because that happens with a lot of self-help books. You get into it and you never finish it. This one, you go through, it's so practical, it's so real, there is so much content, and yet you finish it. And it's just, and it really pulls you in. It's exciting, and you do feel changed and motivated with real steps to take. So I can't recommend this enough, truly.
Well, thank you, Jan. I'm glad that you said that, because that was my hope for the book. And I want everyone to take from it what makes sense for them. But some of the things that you said, the practical approach, sometimes I think we make things a little more complicated than they need to be. And I'm a very down-to-earth type person. And I think when someone thinks of their purpose, sometimes we make it out to be it's such a hard thing to figure out. And it is, but it also isn't. Because part of what happens is we sometimes think it has to be some very big, grandiose purpose. And if it's not big enough and meaningful enough to say, you know, maybe it's not the purpose. You know, you don't think that your purpose is worthy. These type of thoughts can come into people's heads. But it can be very simple and have a tremendous, tremendous impact on the people around you and the life that you lead. And so I titled this book, Make It Your Mark. And the reason for that is we leave a mark wherever we go. You know, and so it's really important to me that the mark that I left was me, authentic myself, with all my quirks and all my fallacies and all of those things and all my greatness too, but that I show up as myself, because that's the biggest gift to give everyone. And once you start that path, purpose starts to come through pretty quickly if you're looking for it, if you're listening to the signs. So it doesn't have to be overcomplicated. It doesn't have to be something that takes years and years and years of reflection. Although for some people it might. It can be a very simple thing. Here's my purpose. And So here's who I want to be, because I want to fulfill that purpose. And if I want to fulfill my purpose, then here's how I want to show up. So it just kind of made sense to me to take it in a very simple, pop, pop, pop. And there you go. Now you're on a purposeful path. Because it changes. Your purpose changes as you grow. Your values change as you grow. And as you live and have different experiences. So maybe that's all there was to it for me. It was just a simple way to say, yeah, here's a way for you to tap into it. And I've coached so many people around finding their purpose. When I first started as a coach, I was always amazed that that's the topic my clients wanted me to coach on, because I thought, oh my gosh, this is huge. And I want them to get what they want out of this. I thought, okay, but once I started doing it, I thought, it's huge, but it's not hard and difficult. It was actually very fun for me.
Oh, I love the way you put that. I mean, you made it so clear. I mean, there were a couple of points that you made, one about which I thought really, really stood out for me. I'm just speaking from my point of view. You said that some, you know, people may think that either they or their purpose is not really worthy or have much worth in the world. And it's, you know, that is such a judgment that we make. And you, as you said, everybody's purpose has worth. And the other thing that I hear you referring to is this about self-acceptance, meaning accepting our greatness and our, you know, our flaws and our humanness, and accepting it all. And that enables us to be able to get out of our own head and be able to be aware of everything around us and the people around us and all of the wonderful energy and talents of everything around us, so that we can be more involved in life around us. And at the same time, and that can also help us become more in tune with our own purpose. So I love what you said. It was just really, really clear. You know, we have a caller right now, so I'm going to connect our caller in, see if they're there. Hello, your number ends in 3774. Hello? 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 Caller 3774? I think our caller has put themselves on hold, so I'm going to put them back on hold. Okay. And I just wanted to announce, if anybody wants to call in, the number here, because we do absolutely love your calls, is 646 716-9397. So, let's see. Your title, you just described or you explained the title, Make It Your Mark, and it has this handprint on it. So I wonder if you'll tell me about how you came up with that design. What is the motivation, the intention behind the handprint?
I think your handprint is such a unique identifier of who you are. And there's also a tie-in to ancient history and when people left their mark on the wall of a cave, how they identified themselves with that handprint. So part of it has to do with this type of legacy that someone would want to leave. And when I see those cave drawings and the people's handprints on them and Native American handprints, it really drew me in. And I thought, it's such a great thing. And the heart, because I believe at our core, where your heart is, you hold your heart in your hand. And so that's part of your mark. So if you have your core values in place, if you're living from your heart, if you love yourself and accept yourself and you show up authentically, that's going to show in your mark. And that's how I designed the logo, is I put the heart with the your in the middle of the hand, because I hold your heart in your hand and go forth. You can't go wrong. You're on the right path then. You know, it's who you are meant to be. It's who you really are at your core.
Oh, that is so beautiful. So it's basically your intention, it's aligning everything, your power, with your heart and with your core. So, and I that's just beautiful. Really, really beautiful. And you hadn't told me that before, so I'm sitting here just thinking, you know, I put my hand over my heart. I love that. So that is really, really, really lovely. It obviously means so much to you, and it's just such a beautiful image. So that's great. I noticed, you know, one of the things that I loved in your book is you discuss vision, values, and voice. So would you mind elaborating on that for our listening audience?
Oh, I'd be glad to. I consider vision, values, and voice the three components that make up your purpose. So if you can imagine that you're on a inline skate, and on the top of the inline skate, your purpose is sitting nicely, and then you have the three wheels underneath it. And your vision, values, and voice, they keep your purpose aligned, and as you're driving along, as long as all three of those wheels are in good working order, you are in the purpose zone, and you zoom through. And it's those times where you feel like, you know, things are just happening so easy for you, or you just lucked out, and oh my gosh, can you believe this opportunity just landed in my lap, or great things are going along. So you're in the zone, and it does feel easy because all of those three things are in place. Vision is what your ideal of who you want to be, ideal life you want to have. It's the ideal of everything. So what is your true vision of your best life, of your best self, in all those different areas? When you flush that out fully and you don't put any holds on it, no limits, go for it. And if you think your friends would laugh and make fun of you and say things like, oh, that's never going to happen, you're in the right place. Go gigantically big. Paradise times 20. You know, people tend to limit their vision. But if you want to make your mark and you really want to live to your purpose, go gigantic. If you're daydreaming about something, put that in there, because that's a bit of a calling pulling you out and saying, here's what you should be doing. Here's, you know, these things are what you want. And so try to go as big as you can, because your vision then draws you into what's important to you in life, and that's your values. The vision is where you want to go. The values are your internal GPS system. And most people, we inherit our values from our parents and when we were children, and as we've grown, we've picked some up, but we tend to just stick with them, and we don't change them as we grow older. And sometimes we don't have the same values we don't choose the same values that we grew up with. Our experiences are a little bit different. So it's very important to come back and say, these are the things that are the most important to me. So if I'm asking myself, who do I want to be? That's going to be value-driven. I want to be someone who is people-centered. I want to be giving. I want to be, you know, what are the things you value the most? And then define those out, because it's really important for you to know, this is what my value means. And here's an example of that, Jan. I use this one all the time. You may have two people working in the same organization, and they both say that their top value is honesty. And person number one's definition of honesty is gut-wrenching, brutal honesty at all costs, no matter what. And person number two's definition of honesty is honesty as long as it doesn't hurt someone's feelings. Well, they clash instantly. The accusations start happening. You're not being honest. It's like, you're just mowing people down, you know. And it's so easy to see how if we don't know what it really means to us, there could be what we call value clashes. So getting clear on what is your real values and choosing them now to help you go to the life that you want to have. And voice is the most important one, believe it or not. You can have a vision and you can have values. If you keep it secret, it's a secret. If you don't talk about it and implement it into your day-to-day and let it show up and show out from you, you will not be able to stay in the purpose zone very long. And if you have values and you're voicing them, but your vision is off and you're not being true to yourself, sometimes people settle on a vision of where they want to go and it's not the real vision they have. You won't stay in the purpose zone either. So all three need to be fully fleshed out and working optimally for you to stay in the purpose zone.
Wow. It's just so great. It all makes so much sense, and I love the steps. And you go into it in more, so much more depth even. You even have almost a blueprint for figuring all of this out and working it out with questions. And I just what you said is that vision being it, where you want to go, and to go gigantic, and to even, you know, include daydreaming and, you know, the ideal of your best self, your best life, every area, the ideal of everywhere you want to go. Like you said, paradise times 20. And then your values being your internal GPS, that it's important to reexamine them at different points in our life, but also to figure out, where did those values come from? Are they really mine, or are they a limiting belief, something I grew up with that I kind of inherited? And, you know, am I living those values? And that who you want to be, that your vision is value-driven. And also to examine, well, what does, you know, to examine these values, what does my value mean? And that we can actually choose them and choose to actually live them, and also to understand the energy and the intention behind those values. And then again, you said, this is the one I love the most, when you said voice, and it's the most important one. And of course, being an opera singer, you know, well, of course voice, that's a no-brainer. Of course voice is the most important one. But, you know, it's true that if you just keep it to yourself, if you do all this planning, but you don't take action on it, which is really with your voice to live it, then, you know, nothing's ever going to happen. So, again, I so encourage everybody to get this book and read it, because it's, even if you're not looking to make a change in your life, it's going to help you live, you know, step more into your own shoes and feel more fulfilled, and also feel like, well, here's some kind of an idea, you know, and it will make you think, actually, and just feel like if you do want to make a choice, if you do need to make a decision, or you want to make a decision, or you want to question something, this gives you a bit of a blueprint, a roadmap on how to do it. So, and also, we will get into this after this little break, but it's also the launch week of your book. This is your book launch week, so there are some specials and some exciting things going on. So, but we will get into that in just a moment. Here on the Life Coach Radio Networks, we are proud to have as our sponsor Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet, offering customers a new way to enhance and enrich their lives every day. Audible is the preeminent provider of spoken word audio products, which include more than 100,000 audio programs from more than 1,800 content providers. You can receive a free audiobook with your 30-day trial when you sign up with Audible today at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now here are some Audible books related to today's topic. Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear, written and narrated by Elizabeth Gilbert. The Power of Vulnerability, Teachings of Authenticity, Connection, and Courage, written and narrated by Brené Brown. A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, written and narrated by Eckhart Tolle. The Power of Purpose, How to Create the Life You Always Wanted, written and narrated by Les Brown. And The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For?, written and narrated by Rick Warren. So don't forget to sign up for a one-month free trial to get your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. Audible.com, making listening a tool for life. And now, back to our show. So, let's see, just one moment. I just lost my place here. Okay, so if you were to choose one message to offer your readers and our listeners, what would that be?
You are great beyond measure. The greatness that is given to each of us is beyond what you can imagine. And if you will tap into that and embrace it, which is beyond acceptance, embrace it, take it in, and believe that you were meant to be great, your light will shine so brightly that it will enable other people to step into their greatness. So just that one thing, accept and embrace your greatness.
Oh, I love that. But that is, that is so huge. And it really does, it does go back to what we were discussing before about how this, not only self-awareness, so that you're totally aware, not just of everything around you and everyone around you, but of yourself, being totally honest and loving and accepting of yourself in full. And that in that kind of self-acceptance, it makes it possible for us to accept others as their full self. And this light that, like you said, this light that's inside of you will shine out there and help others as well in their own, accepting their own greatness, in their own humanity. So, I so love it. And that is really, that is what your book, that is the key message of your book. And it tells people very simply how to do that.
We're conditioned to be humble, and we're conditioned to, not toot our horns and all of those different things. And all of that has merit, except for we are created to have a greatness in us, to make a contribution, to be here for a reason. So once you realize what your greatness is, you have power beyond compare. And now you can start getting the things in life that you really want and the contributions you want to make and showing up. And so I think it's the key, Jan, to everything. And it's so hard. I mean, all of us have gone through periods of our lives where, maybe we felt beat down and downtrodden and kind of lost ourselves in there. And I talk about that sort of in the book, because I'm the kind of person where I don't like, you know, they always tell you, what's your victim to victory story? And I tend to not want to tell a victim to victory story. I'm more of a optimistic person. So I tell a story of optimism and perseverance instead, because it's my continual growth and journey. But tied into that part of the greatness journey that you're on is those times when you do lose yourself. They're great opportunities to find yourself again. And I don't want to sugarcoat it, because I have been kicked in the gut by the universe many, many times. I have had some trauma and traumatic things happen to me very early on. My father was in a car accident and passed away when I was very young. My mother was in the car as well. She was in the hospital for a year. When she came out, she wasn't the same. You know, her she didn't have the same physical appearance, and she had been very injured too. And, you know, that was a traumatic experience to have as a child. And we lived in Texas. Nobody lived here. And one of the reasons why we lived here is because I fell into a fire when I was 11 months old, was severely burned. And my father was in the Army, and so they stationed him in San Antonio because they had one of the best burn wards here. And my dad brought me by himself. The family didn't come at first, so I could have, and I don't remember a lot of that when I was 11 months old, but I do remember previous surgery, you know, surgeries after that and the differences, things like that, that it can make. I've been divorced. I lost myself and found myself again. I've had serious illnesses, surgeries. I've, you know, almost been very close to death a couple of times. I've lost two siblings to cancer in a five-year time span. I mean, I could go on and on, but I feel like so does everybody else. Everyone else has these same kind of stories. That doesn't make me unique. But it does lend itself to who I am now and how I got here. So part of it is sometimes when you experience adversity when you're younger, you learn some really great coping skills, and I think I did. And those coping skills helped push me and helped me always get back up. So every time I've been knocked down and felt like, oh, God, you know, maybe I can't go on, somebody crossed my path who had it so far worse than I, but had such a great message to share with me, and I know they were put there on purpose for me to meet. And they just helped me so much. And I put some of their stories in the book as well. Hopefully their inspirational stories and the things about them will help other people who experienced some tough times as well. But it's all part of that. It's all, and that's why I say those dings and those scars and the trauma that we go through, sometimes those are some of the best parts of our life to help you go to where you want to be.
Wow. Well, there's so much there that I didn't even, you know, I was unaware of. Because again, as the audience, as I mentioned before, you and I worked together on Think Tank, but I was totally unaware of so much of what you mentioned. I mean, that is a lot. That is quite a lot, that you lost your dad at a very young age, and then your mom in the hospital for a year. What you went through, and then losing your siblings, that's huge. And then, you know, other things you haven't even really gone into. So, and the way that you look at those things and the way that you've come through it, and you just have this beautiful spirit and energy, and you haven't been defined by it, but as you said, you don't want to sugarcoat it, but you also, it's just part of who you are and part of what makes you so human and loving and compassionate and empathetic. So, and part of what makes you want to give back to the world. So, it's, you know, it's really, I really thank you for sharing all of that with us. I'm just curious, is there, you know, you said that you know, there was a lot of fear and trauma in your life. So how, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, how do you feel that you were able to break through that fear and move forward?
I just have this perseverance thing where I hang on tight and I don't give up. And I think I picked up that from my mother. But again, other people have come into my life that have been inspirations to me, and have tapped in and helped me figure it out. Part of it is because I'm genuinely optimistic by nature. I came that way. I always see the glass half full. I tend to see the good. I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, sometimes people may take advantage, but for the most part, no, they don't. And, you know, that's the foot that I want to go forward on and keep it that way. But there have been times where my faith for sure comes in and helps me. The belief that it will get better. And sometimes when a roadblock is thrown up, we're not meant to go on that road. Maybe we're meant to go around it. Maybe the timing isn't right yet. You know, so not giving up, but figuring out, well, I know I'm supposed to do something with that. I'm not quite sure what it is then, so I'm going to have to figure that out. But there's typically someone that comes in and inspires me and moves me along and helps me. I there's two stories in the book. There's more than two stories in the book, but there's two stories in the book that are about me and interacting with someone else. And they're about the illustrations of those times, Jan, where I think perseverance played a big role in it, and also me stepping through my fear. And the first one is, I always knew I was supposed to be great, doing something great. And I always believed I could do something. But just like everyone else, every time I would step into it, fear would just grip me and keep me from doing it. And I would talk myself out of things and not go for it. And I would hear somebody else's voice in my head, you know, that you can't do that, you're not talented enough, da-da-da-da-da. One of the stories I write about is I always wanted to be an artist since I was a little girl, and somehow I got the message growing up that I couldn't be an artist. I wouldn't make enough money, artists starve, you know, all those things, and I needed to go into a different degree. So I didn't go into art, although that was my true passion and love. And I would paint on anything and anywhere. So I sort of self-taught myself to paint and draw and play with art. But I was in my 40s. Yes, not until my 40s. And I saw this class about painting a masterpiece. It was a panel from the Sistine Chapel. And I went to the studio, and they said they taught people how to do that. I thought, you teach people how to do this? This? I said, oh, but how many classes do you have to take before that? And she goes, no, you can be a novice. We just have a different way of teaching. And I thought, what? Really? Really, could I do this? And so I signed up for that class. It was going to be 4 days with this famous artist named Sean Crosby. And the morning of that class, I was giddy, just giddy. I took 4 personal days from work, something I would never do to go do this. And when people asked me where I was going, I wouldn't tell them. I thought, no. So I got there that morning. I was so excited, and the class was going on. And I was listening to everybody's story. And just to tell you how excited I was, I didn't quite pay attention to the fact that everyone in there was a professional. I was the only non-professional person. Didn't quite hit me until Sean sent us to our workstations after he did a little demo and some things. And he said, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to, I don't usually do this in these classes, I feel like I'm supposed to help somebody here. So I'm just going to throw it out there to you. If there's somebody here, you know, you feel drawn to this and maybe you get the messages for you, then I'm here for you. So just reach out to me. And he had a really thick New York accent. I went to my workstation. I was laying everything out, and I was still pretty excited. I thought, this is going to be so much fun, and this painting is 4 feet by 6 feet. And I turned around, and everybody was painting, and oh, my gosh, they had so much already done on their canvases that I freaked out. I literally stopped myself. This thought went through my head. Stupid, stupid, stupid girl. You stupid dreamer. You don't belong here. Oh, my gosh, what did you do? Oh, no. And I was almost in tears, full-blown panic attack, just about ready to run from the room. And this voice came up behind me and said, nice workstation you got there. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just trying to lay everything out and make it really good. And I was giggling to cover the fact that I was going to cry. And he goes, yeah, you've been working on it for about 20 minutes. And I thought, oh. Well. And he just picks up this big paintbrush and sticks it in this dark brown stain and slash it across my canvas and toss the brush back on my table and he goes, there, now you can't fuck it up. And I was like, oh. And he walked off. I was like, oh. Now everyone's looking at me, so I'm feeling like, oh, no, I'm the center of attention. And then he turns around with this sarcastic, one eyebrow raised up, and he goes, you might want to wipe that off before it stains. And I thought, oh. So I pick up my rag, and I start wiping it off. And in that moment, I realized something huge. I was touching my canvas. I thought, you genius, best teacher I've ever had. I thought, stepped through the fear, and I will tell you what, it was the best 4 days of my life. That painting is still hanging in my house today, and I consider Sean such a good friend, and he never wants to accept how meaningful that was, although he's a wonderful person, but he recognized that. So he was there to help somebody that day. He was there to help me step through my fear. And I didn't run away that time. I actually did it. So there was no going back for me after that. It's like, yeah, got to go for what you know you're supposed to do.
Mm. And, you know, I just wanted to tell everybody that if you get the book, you can see the finished painting. And it is amazing. I mean, it is amazing. This was the first class you ever took, and really, I mean, it blew me away, and I love the way you show it at the very end. You know, you've told the story somewhere in the book, and then you go on to all this other stuff, and then at the end, it's like, oh, and by the way, here's my painting. And it's just, and yeah, it's just fantastic. And there's something else that you did, too, you know, this marathon. So I love that story, if you wouldn't mind going into that. And I also just want to remind everybody before we do that if you would like to join the call, again, we would love to hear from you. It is 646-716-9397.
Yes. My brother, my beloved brother, my big brother David, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer of the bladder. And he was in his early 50s and a young man. And I just, we were so devastated by this. And, you know, he was wanting to fight and knowing that he was diagnosed at such a late stage, but we all had hope. And this man with such dignity and grace, you know, he was going to go on his journey and fight. Well, I wanted to do something for him. I, you know, quite frankly, I wanted to kick that cancer's ass, but it wasn't mine to kick. And so I thought, you know, he doesn't want to talk about being ill. He wants to live. So what could I do where I could still be fighting for him and showing my solidarity and also coming up with some other topics than just the fact that, you know, here we are at the hospital with you while you're having another horrible round of chemo and things. And so I thought it has to be something Herculean because that's what he's doing. And I really want him to feel the synergy and the energy from me fighting as well. And so I chose to do a marathon because running is really hard for me, very hard for me. And so I joined this marathon, and I have to tell you, when I first started, I couldn't run. I was shuffle running. It was embarrassing. And I was exhausted, but I kept doing it. And then I would go and I would talk to him about, you know, my times in the park where I would bend over double thinking I was going to die and really hard to breathe. Or I continually tripped over roots as I was running because I did cross country and I do that little windmill thing to keep myself from falling. And I fell into the dirt so many times and I go to the hospital after with scraped knees and he would laugh. He's like, you got hit by a root again, didn't you? I thought, yes, I did. Thank you for being my brother and making fun of me again. I love it. But anyway, the day of the race, it was really hot here in Texas and, I started mine, and I was running, and I was hanging in there, and I had the Lance Armstrong Livestrong bracelet on, so I would touch that. And, you know, I was doing this for my brother. And boy, it was tough. I had never run on grass before. It was so hot, and I'd never run out in the blazing sun like that either. And the last leg of this race was on this steepest hill I've ever been on. I thought, seriously, really? And I was trying to get up, but people were walking in front of me, so I had to keep swerving around them. And I thought, I'm going to have to stop. I'm not going to make it. And I was really getting worried. And so I touched my bracelet, trying to get the, you know, feeling back in it again, and wasn't quite happening. I thought, oh no, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. And this is such a important fight for my brother, and he's not quitting. So how could I quit? And just at that point where I thought I was going to give up, from the top of this hill, I heard this voice. And it said, number 2746. I thought, that's me. Don't let the hill beat you. I thought, what? Don't let the hill. It's beating me. It's beating me. But it was like fighting words for me. And I thought, yes, don't let this hill beat you. You can do it. And so I dug in. But, oh, my gosh, I just couldn't keep it going. I thought, I don't want to stop. I don't want to walk. I need to do this for him. And then I had sweat pouring in my eyes, so I really couldn't see. And I thought, the people in front of me, I was really hoping, please move to the side. But I couldn't tell them to move because I couldn't breathe. So again, from the top of the hill, I heard this loud voice, number 2746, you can do this. Don't let the hill beat you. And then chorus of voices, walkers, move over, someone's trying to run up the hill. And I was like, me, it's me, I'm trying to do this. And a chorus of voices, you can do it, don't let the hill beat you. And I get finally up to the top of that hill, and I think I'm to the finish line. Seriously, it must be, right? And I'm looking for it, because I'm like, where is it? I got to cross it. And they're taking my picture. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to look atrocious. What are you doing? And these pink-shirted people, cancer survivors, were cheering me on, and they were like, you're not done yet. I thought, cruelest joke of all. Are you kidding me? I thought, holy shit. And they said, but you can do it. It's flat now, and it's a ways off, but you can do it. And several of them ran the rest of the way with me and cheered me on all the way across that finish line. And then I couldn't find them afterwards because I wanted to thank them, because I get choked up when I tell the story, because I don't think they knew what it meant to me. It wasn't just about the hill. It was the symbolism of doing it for my brother and what they gave to me, the gift they gave me. Yes, I got my medal, and I'm really proud of that. But what they gave me even more was the means to take my brother's mind off his cancer for a while, the ability to share in his struggle in such a way and have him laugh his head off. And he did. He laughed so hard when he saw those pictures that he bent over double, and that was really good. Yeah, he's like, oh, oh, oh. But he was so proud of me, and it was just such a nice bonding moment. But what they did, that's what I mean by there's someone that has come across my path in times where it's really difficult for me, and without even any big fanfare, it didn't have to be anything gigantic. It was a cheering voice. It was a point in the right direction, but it made such a big difference in my life. And now I will tell you that as I'm exercising or riding my bike, you'll hear me if you're behind me. Don't let the hill beat you. Don't let the hill beat you. As I say it out loud to keep myself from quitting. It's my mantra now.
Oh, what a beautiful story. And I mean, I know as I read it in the book, I was touched in so many ways. First of all, you are so funny. And the way, I mean, as funny as you were just now telling the story, it's even funnier in the book. I mean, I just laughed because you're self-effacing and you're so real, and you shared, you know, what you and your brother, you know, what it meant to the both of you. And also, you know, in that you faced your fears. It's just such a wonderful story, and it's so funny at the same time. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. I know that you conduct live trainings of Make It Your Mark, and they really do sound very exciting, especially knowing you and knowing, you know, the energy and the love that you put into everything. So I'd love for you to tell us about those and why you love conducting them.
Oh, and I do love it. I love conducting them because I love to see people. I think it's part of my purpose is to inspire. And I have a very simple purpose. That's what it is, to inspire. And there's a certain part of me that I want to inspire people who maybe feel like they can't a little bit, or life's beat them down somewhat. I want to inspire them to step up and take the opportunity to reconnect to who they are at their core, and then put that in action. But it's a two-day live event, and I call it a transformational experience because I take the concepts from the book, Make It Your Mark. There's seven critical connections in the book, and I call them critical connections because they connect back to your core, which is the heart and place of the greatest personal power you have. And that's what this is all about. It's connect to your personal power so you have the impact in life you want to have and make the mark that says, I was here, and it's me. And I take each of those seven connections, and we go through them together, and each person gets to reconnect to the vision they want, reconnect to their values, develop the voice. And there's so much more into it as well. So by the time at the end of the two-day session, you leave with your plan in place to go forth and make your mark and put it in action. So it's 2 days, fun, it's intense. People tell me that it's liberating, it's life-changing, it's transformational. Everyone should do it. They didn't know quite what to expect. You know, they had an idea when they got there, but they were not anticipating it to be as interactive and as fun, and at the same time, as powerful as it is. And to see people come out of their shell, to see them really start to openly talk about the greatness within them, to see them start to embrace that, gosh, that's the greatest gift for me ever. It fuels me up so much. And I hope I continue to do it forever.
Oh, I hope so too. So I'm curious, where do you conduct those live trainings?
Right now we do them in Texas. But when I get a special request for someone that has a group of 10 to 12 people, that I will go to their location and host it there.
Mm-hmm. So do you work with any particular group of people, meaning, you know, a particular niche, maybe, you know, corporate, or do you just anybody who wants to take your trainings?
I actually do the Make It Your Mark training in corporate setting. They invite me in, and I'll go in and train in the corporate world. The beauty of this is, you tap into who you are as a person, which then is going to impact you in all areas of your life, professionally as well. And I think one of the keys to what makes the training so popular and actually so powerful is that it's a blend. We have people in their 20s and we have people in their 60s. We have CEOs and we have computer programmers. It's just a nice blended group. And from that, you know, it's fun to hear the different takes that each person comes back with. And at the end, they're a big, happy family, you know.
I have a couple questions here. So first of all, do you ever do any virtual trainings? Because I'm sure people are wondering about that right now, people that aren't down there or maybe not associated with a big corporation that might hire you, but, you know, someone who's listening who might be very excited about this kind of training.
I do webinars. And I actually conduct some free webinars for people. And I have free resources on my website, too, for anyone who's interested in, you know, getting started with this. And on the webinars, we actually connect so that we can see each other. And if someone wants to be live on the video, they'll be live, and we can connect that way. But they can definitely see me. And I try to make – most of the things I do, I try to make it very personable. I try to make it relaxed but powerful, because one of the things that I'm known for is I will help you challenge yourself. I am one of those kind of people that I will give you the loving boot, as we call it. if that's what you're looking to have. Because one of the things is you can't keep doing it the way you're doing it if you want to make changes. So the beauty of being a professional coach and for coaching for as many years as I have is you develop your own technique of helping people go where they want to go and bottom lining it for them and helping them see things and reframe it in a way where they'll still love you, but it won't let them settle for less and won't let them stay status quo. And I'm committed to that. I'm committed to helping people make the transformations they want to make.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. I'm thinking, well, I need to take one of your webinars. So where would people find those? You want to tell people the link?
If you go to my website, it's makeityourmark.com, and look through there on the very first page. You can actually download a free resource right now called the...
Oops, are you there? I think we've just lost audio. You're there, but we can't hear you. Okay, so it would be makeityourmark.com. And I'm hoping that Susan can come back in. Her audio seems to have gone away. So I am going to go on and hope that Susan can come back in. We are actually getting towards the end of the show, so I do want to thank my guest, Susan Gonzalez, for being on the show today. And in closing, I'd just like to say that we have the power to change the trajectory of our lives by knowing what we want and choosing how we show up. In creating a vision of what we want, knowing our values, living them, and walking our talk, we can manifest our future by taking the actions necessary to turn our dreams into reality. I'm Jan Jaffe of Forward to Success, and it has been my privilege to have been your host today. I would like to offer our listeners a free 30-minute consulting and discovery session. For more information, you can email me at info@forwardtosuccess.com. That's info@forwardtosuccess.com. I also want to remind our listeners that you're invited to share any comments and feedback on our website at www.lifecoachradionetworks.com. And in addition to my solo show, Your Best Life, this show airing generally, not today, but generally airing on the second Wednesday of every month at 12 noon Eastern on the Life Coach Radio Network, where I interview fascinating guests on many topics from all walks of life. I also host Think Tank, a roundtable discussion with my brilliant co-hosts, Charissa Sebastian and Susan Gonzalez. Think Tank airs the fourth Wednesday of every month at 12 noon Eastern. So I would be, and Susan as well, would be delighted if you would join us for the next episode of Think Tank, which is going to air on December 23rd at 12 noon Eastern. I'm also interviewing fitness guru, trainer, girls leader, and entrepreneur, formerly of Jake and Tina, Tina DeLon, on Wednesday, December 9th at 12 noon Eastern. So please do join us for that show. So Susan, who has rejoined us, hi Susan.
Hi.
Hi. So would you care to share any closing thoughts, comments, website, book, or contact information with our listening audience? And please do tell everybody about the book launch.
Yes, I would be delighted to. You can purchase the book on Amazon, and there is a link on my website, makeityourmark.com. Just go to books, and it takes you directly to it. We are in the book launch this week. We have a Facebook party, which will be taking place on Tuesday of next week. If you go to my Facebook page, you can get all of the information on that, and we have some great giveaways for anyone who enters our little raffle there. So if you're looking to get a free signed copy of the book or some free coaching sessions from me and some other great things from Sandy Lawrence or Michelle Schism, I invite you to join what we call our book launch raffle. And we are doing a book signing. Will be taking place, if you're in San Antonio, January 9th from 3 to 5. It's going to be at the Twig Bookstore, and there will be more information about that on my website as well. My message for everyone that I would just love to leave you with is be who you are, embrace the greatness within you, and step forth to make your mark in the world, and know that you're worthy and deserving, and we need what you have. The world is a better place when you share the greatness within you, and I invite you to do so today.
Oh, thank you. Your words are like a big warm hug, I have to tell you. That message is great. And I just want to reiterate that the book Make It Your Mark by Susan Gonzalez is on Amazon, and it's available. I know it's available on Kindle, and it's also available in a printed version as well. So you can have it in any format you want. And would you mind repeating again how people can find that book launch on Facebook?
You can if you go to my Facebook page, Susan Gonzalez, and click on there. It's on my cover photo, shows it with a link for you to just click and go straight to. But just go to my Facebook page, Susan Gonzalez. And if you're wondering, am I in the right Susan Gonzalez, you'll see Make It Your Mark there. You'll also see a lot of references to IPET coaching because I was their former chief operating officer. And so you'll know you're in the right place then if you click on the page.
Absolutely. And I wanted to also tell people your last name is Gonzales. So there's an S on the end. Sometimes people have a Z, you have an S. So so that's a help. And it, like you said, it says Make It Your Mark. And so that's how you find it. Wonderful. And I also want to remind our listeners that all of our contact and bio information is listed in today's show description. So that should help as well. So I'm just going to take a quick moment to announce a few of our upcoming shows. On this, the Life Coach Radio Network, tomorrow, December 4th at 12 noon Eastern, Create Your Bliss with Nika Annon. She's interviewing Elizabeth Williamson. And on Sunday, December 9th at 9 p.m., Mark My Words with the wonderful certified life and business coach, Mark Schall. And also on December 9th, next Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern, Your Best Life with Jan Jaffe. We've already mentioned that show. And then on our sister network, the Life Coach Chat Channel, tomorrow, December 4th at 1 p.m., Living Young, Living Healthy, Living Mindfully with Holistic Life Coach Suzanne. And on December 6th at 8 p.m., Family Values with my dear friend Kristen Michelle, and the show is called The Safety Net. So I want to again thank my wonderful guest, Susan Gonzalez, for joining me today and making this show a very, very special one. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.